just this place that we get to meet in, Lord God, and just for the breath of life, Lord, that you put in all of us. Lord, we thank you, Father, for every opportunity that you create for us, Lord, every chance that you give us, Lord God. And in all things, Father, we seek your will. Lord, we seek your way. We seek your truth. We seek the path of life. And Lord, we just want to say, Lord God, this evening, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for making the way for us to walk with you through Christ Jesus. And Lord, we boldly come before the throne of grace because of you, Lord. We come before you knowing that you've made the way for us through your Spirit, Lord. And so right now, Father God, as we seek your face, as we would spend some time in your Word, Lord, we ask that you, your Holy Spirit, would teach us. Father, we leave every care and every concern by the way, Lord God, and we leave it at your feet. And Lord, in return, Father, we just ask your peace, your direction, your leading, your guidance. Your will be done, Father, in Jesus' name. So Lord, as we would just read your Word, we pray that you would teach us, the Holy Spirit would teach us, Father. And I get out of the way, Lord, and I just invite the free flow of your Spirit, and I acknowledge and recognize there's nothing in me that's good except for you, Lord God. So I invite you, the Holy Spirit, to teach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, yeah, we have a little background music for about 10 minutes because they're finishing up that other class. Okay, so we've been in a series for the last few weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Put some with it.
Yeah, exactly. So this one is, so now we're in part 3. Entitled The Path of Life. I go to John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." John chapter 10. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Okay, and if you flip forward just a few pages in your Bible, you go to John 14. In verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay, so Jesus is the shepherd, and he's also the way that we go. So when Christ in us, the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is a way of truth. He's a way of life. And so when we begin this path with Christ, he's the one leading. Now, flip back to Proverbs 14 and verse 12, because this is one we touched on a lot, is that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Right? Okay. So, and the same thing in Proverbs 16:25. Now, so you have Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and he talks about, too, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Okay, we've established a while back that there's two kingdoms. So one kingdom is the path of life, the path of light, the path of truth, Christ, and the other kingdom is the way of death, the way of darkness, the way of the lie, that which came to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, when you flip to Proverbs 14, what you get there is there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So there's a way that seems right to us, to me, to my thinking, to my mind, but in the end, that's the way of death, destruction, and it's also the way of the thief. It also goes in line with the kingdom of darkness. It goes, also goes in line with the way that the devil works, to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So your own way will destroy your own life, basically. In fact, Proverbs 19, you know, the start of it says, a man's own ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. So it's like, so a person will, in their own mind, in their own soulish thinking, apart from God, choose a way that the end of it, like, destroys themselves, and then they get mad at God, saying, God, why did you do this to me, or why did you let this happen to me? It's like, no, he didn't do that to you. You did it to yourself, you know, and if you just would have walked with him, you'd avoid a lot of hurt and heartbreak and all that. But there's always, you can line up at this moment in time with truth. You know, that's what salvation is. That's what rescue is literally, you know, stopping where you are, turning, lining yourself up with truth, and going on with him at that point on, no matter what. You know, so that's really, so, okay. So we are talking, though, about the path of life. So this is, so some principles that we picked up from before. One, he's leading. You know, and so he doesn't drive you like cattle. You know, the whole purpose-driven thing is, I mean, they're driving people like cattle towards something. No, God leads sheep. You know, it's the voice of the Spirit that resonates in the heart of anyone that knows him, that leads and guides you into all truth, that leads you through this life. He takes you in a way, and you hear his voice and you follow him. So he's in the lead, and you are following that leading of the Spirit. You are following. So nobody's behind you with a whip, you know, move. No, nothing like that. He's ahead of you. You hear his voice and you walk in the footsteps that he leads you. Right? Okay. Another principle that we picked up in the parts that we've already done, this is a way. You know, it's not a prayer that somebody prays at the altar. See, this is again, you know, where there's been a distortion. Again, the religious system of the world, where they've done a distortion. They've got their, you know, okay, come to the altar here. Now raise your hand. Quick, say these magic hocus pocus and walakazam, you're saved. You know, and it's, I mean, there's a starting point. There is a starting point to this journey, yeah, but it's a way. It's a path. It's a directional thing. So you are walking in the way with Christ. And see, ultimately what happens when a person passes on from this life into the next, you keep going in the direction that you chose. So when people are like, oh, how can God send somebody to hell? No, people choose the reality that they want to live in for all eternity. People make that choice while they're in this very short life, which way they want to go. If you choose darkness, you will receive eternal darkness. If you choose light, you receive and move into eternal light. So that's why, too, when you go to some of the religious institutions, they're very dark places because they've chosen darkness and they use God as a means to validate it and all of that. But see, all of that's laid bare before him. You know, God that looks at the heart, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So God that looks at the heart and sees all of this stuff, He knows where these people are coming from. And so when you shift into eternity, that which is inside comes out. So just like a butterfly, you know, and you're in the cocoon right now. Yeah, the metamorphosis you go through, that you're in the cocoon right now. And then when you emerge into eternity, what's really on the inside then comes out. And so that's why, you know, people that seem like there's something right now and great men and men of power and all that, they're nothing in eternity. And that's why, too, the meek and many people that are lowly and all of that, too, on this side, but that know the Father, when they emerge into eternity, they're shown to be just bright, shining like stars. I mean, they're just amazing individuals, because the true person that's on the inside of this shell that we live in emerges. So now, within this thing, though, each of us gets certain assignments, certain tasks, certain responsibilities while we're walking with Christ. And that's why, too, when the Spirit's leading you, it'll be different for each one of us, because you're each individually, uniquely made and uniquely fashioned. So, like, and what He's given you will work and function in part through the gifts He's already put in you. So, for example, for me, God's given me a very analytical mind. It's part of just my makeup. And one thing I've learned is that, you know, that gift functions when I'm in connection with the Spirit of God. I can go into a lot of situations and God blesses me with solutions and problem solving. Now, I'm not a painter. You know, I don't have that. I mean, I like to paint if I get the opportunity, but that's not my makeup. You know, that's not really the core of skills that are in me. There's something I appreciate, you know, go see the Rembrandt Museum or something, wow, this is nice, but that's not me. So I'm uniquely made. So that's why, too, the distortion of the religious program is, okay, let's get everybody here and get you all to do this thing together on the same page. Okay, now you all got to be in the choir. Now you all have to be in this. Now you all have to come to the retreat. Now you all have to... And it's like, no, you're individually made. And if you learn the voice of the Spirit of God for yourself, you can then walk into it. And then you can emerge into, even in this life, God's plan and purpose for you while you're here in the earth. Because you're not here for that long. So while you're here, you want to be about the purpose that God has for you. It's not worth wasting your time, you know, in what the world is telling you should be about. It's much rather spend some time in the purpose God has for you. Jesus, all he had to do was 3.5 years really to dig into what, you know, that assignment was. But he'd spent 30 years preparing for it. So it's not, you know, God will... It's not the time frame or anything else. It's really His terms. And just connecting with Him and then following Him in the path. Now, we contrasted Jesus and John the Baptist even in scriptures. Jesus said, look, you know, John came neither eating nor drinking. And he said, you know, he's got a demon. And I came eating and drinking. He says, here's a friend of wine bibbers and sinners and the worst kind of guy. And it's like, you know, but he says, wisdom is proved right by her children. But ultimately, truth came in two completely different packages, and no matter how it showed up, because the heart was not for truth and they couldn't see the core of where these people were coming from, they rejected it no matter what because they love darkness. So that's why, too, you know, somebody will be like, okay, and that's like, you're a singer. God will empower you and give you gifts in that area. And Damitav, you work with the tea industry or something like that, and PG, you do something with your college, or I'll be doing what... If you're doing what you're doing in these different spots, and each of you carries with you the Spirit of God into those places that God has put you. And so you don't have to be anybody else. What you have to be is to be the manifestation that God intended for you to be where you are. So He wanted to be a full-blown Natasha in that situation. He wanted every gift that's in Natasha to be manifest, to come forward, to the true essence of who she is in Christ, to be shown for what it is. That's what God ideally likes. And He does that with, for example, trees. How many different kinds of trees are there in the world? You have fruit trees, and you have, ones that don't produce, and then you have, you know, shrubs, and you have all, and each one of those is a manifestation of general principle, you know, of a tree, but they come forward in so many different ways. So they all need the sun, they all need, you know, there's certain things that they need that makes them grow, but when they're manifest, there's something completely different. Each one is so different, and even within the same kind of tree, there's not a tree that's the same. Even if it's the same type of tree, every tree is different. So why allow anybody to ever try to conform you? Because you're far more complex than a tree. But God showed, you know, his creativity in even making natural examples so that we could then say, okay, this is a little bit more of what he's like. He's consistent. And if he's consistent in what he did there, he's consistent then in the way that he works with me. So for me, I have to embrace for myself, all right, I'm uniquely made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm special to God. I am. We're all, you know, if you he died on the cross and shed his blood because we were worth that price to him. So I have that value placed on me because he placed that value on me. So now let's emerge into what it is that God then intended and called for me to be and all of that. So, okay, so it's a path that you're walking on. And as you're walking on this path, there's certain things that happen. For example, the wilderness experience. You start reading through scriptures and you see how many of God's servants, when he called them, were forced into the wilderness, were sent into the wilderness, were allowed to experience that. Like Jesus, it said the first thing that happened when the Spirit of God came on him, the Spirit of God sent him into the wilderness for 40 days, and he was tested and tried there even by the devil during that time. So, different people have it for different seasons of time. Paul had to go to the backside of the desert for 3 years. Joseph was had 13 years. Daniel, you know, I mean, each one of these guys had their wilderness experience. Moses had to do 40, you know, just to burn the king out of him, to get him to a place where, okay, now you are ready to shepherd the nation of Israel. So so we all will have that on the path of life. For example, when you're walking out with Christ, this life, you will guaranteed, if you're going to walk with Christ, he will allow you to experience that, to be stripped of everything that's not him, to know what it is to be lonely. You'll know what it is to have a reflection of your true self, to know, oh gosh, this is what I am outside of Christ. I mean, he'll let you experience that and know that, so that it solidifies too the direction that you've chosen, and you refine. You see, it's kind of like, you know, what the world will do too is it will oftentimes try to keep the religious system of the world, especially, to keep you from ever having any real experience with God. It's like a mother that tries to keep her kid from, you know, like keeps her away from all the other kids so that the kid doesn't get sick. And I just saw a study the other day that showed, like, you know, if you let your kids play with other kids, they have much stronger immune systems, you know, when they grow up. You know, it's all right for them to experience some things as a child. If you do everything for your child, you just create a big sloppy baby, you know, and they grow up and they're still sloppy as an adult. You let them learn a few things, you know, and then that helps. So even like that, the Holy Spirit lets us experience some things for our growth, for our development, as you're walking with. Now this is on the path when you're walking with him. So he'll let us go through stuff, because in these experiences we also learn his voice, where you solidify your commitment even in your walk. So so it's a path that we're on. And then and ultimately there is another way. There is Christ's way, and then there's the broad road, you know, that leads to destruction. So there's his way, which is the way of truth, the way of life, the way of peace. And then you have the other path, which is, which manifests in different forms. See, that's why two people are like, oh, there's, you know, all these religions in the world. No, actually, every religion in the world is on that broad path, away from God. Because even when Jesus came, he didn't set up a religion. You know, he did not come and set up the religion of Christianity. What he did when he came was establish a way. Because when you look even in Scripture, he didn't take them out of the temple. He said the time is going to come when they'll put you out of the synagogue. They're going to kill you and they're going to do all this stuff to you because they're going to think that, you know, that they're doing a service unto God, but that's because they don't know me. But they were known as Christians because they looked like and resembled Christ. So that Antioch, when they started calling them Christians, it was because, hey, these guys look like Christ, talk like Christ, same kind of power that was in Christ is flowing through these guys. These guys are little Christs. They're Christian. We'll call them Christians. There's never a religion, never a label. And even when the church, the early church, was the church at Antioch, was the church in Rome, was the church in Corinth, was the church in Jerusalem, there was no denomination. There was no schism. There was no split. The church was basically, here's the body of Christ in that location. So there would be a Church of Colombo, that would be all there is. If this was a real reflection of what the church was meant to be. So the very nature of a denomination is division. And Christ is not divided. So there's over 30,000 denominations in the world right now. And growing. So there's the very nature of a denomination is division. And Christ is not divided. So so what Christ established for us is a path. And so what we're doing is when you come into connection with Him, is that you are walking on that path. You're walking on this journey with Him. So now, a few things I want to talk about a little bit tonight. What are some of the blocks then that you face when you're walking this journey with Him? So now, okay, so now you've committed yourself. You're like, okay, God, I want to do this. I want to walk this life out with You. What are some of the things that you face if you're going to try to walk it out with Christ?
Getting descriptions from everyone. Enemy attacks. All sorts of things.
And it comes from the closest friend we can imagine.
Yep.
And your so-called true friends sometimes just, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parents, your family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes within yourself also you keep doubting how far you can go things and how far you can go.
Yep, you're right on. Okay, I'll give you five blocks and then we'll go through these in scripture. Some blocks to you following Christ that you now encounter. See, okay, as soon as you start, you're committed to this, everything in that other system, so you have two kingdoms again, right? Everything in the system of the world, the kingdom of darkness, everything that they have to bear, they will bring to keep you from going that route. So you have to understand that when you commit to that, this is then what you're going to end up facing. Okay, some blocks, self-preservation, soulish thinking, third one, others who are not following Christ, another one, the devil and all of his forces, and the fifth one, your flesh. Okay, let's go through these a little bit. Mark chapter 8. We have background music for the whole night. Yeah. Gosh. Only for this week. Okay. Because they had to. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 says, And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay, we've gone through this before in another lesson. When Christ draws and when he calls, now he's leading you, right? So the good shepherd is leading his sheep on the path of life. And wait, where are we going? Oh shoot, we're going to die. You know, you got the cross, you're walking, following Christ, and he's leading you to the death of yourself. So one thing that blocks you from following Christ, and the place where I've seen a lot of people stop, is crap, I don't want to die. And literally they don't understand what it is, because you're afraid of what that might mean. And it's a point where people stop. They don't trust God. They trust Him to a point, and then they stop trusting Him right there. And they doubt. And so what they do, because they're afraid of what it might mean to them in this life, they're afraid of what it might mean to things that they've already been programmed with, that they should want and have and achieve in this life and in this world. So they stop at this point where God is trying to lead them to actually give you the abundant life that He wanted, which is to liberate you from yourself. But it comes at a point where you would actually have a death-like experience in every sense except for the fact that you stop breathing. So God leads you to this point where you come to the end of yourself, you die to this world, and you're alive in Christ. So the whole thing about baptism, when the symbolism behind baptism is when you go down into the water, when you come up, it's like the old you died, and it's a new you that comes up, that this is the new you. You're the old you died, and the new you that's come forward, the resurrection that's come forward, is in Christ. So He literally leads you to that point. It's not a ritual, it's a representation. He leads you to that in the spirit, where, because again, it's a natural representation of a spiritual reality. He leads you to that in spirit, where you would literally die a death to who you are in this world, and everything you ever hoped for, everything you ever dreamed, all of it will be let go of. And then you come forward with Him. And then, so when you come forward with Him, now it's like, okay, wow, wait a second. What I was holding on to and what I was so afraid to lose was really just, in the end, was nothing, was trash, was a bondage that didn't do anything for me. And so now I realize, wait, what I have now is This is life. This is truth. So you move into this path. But what happens is you have to hold on to Christ to let Him take you through that process. But self-preservation. A lot of people stop at some point because they don't trust God to take them past. So what happens? For example, a big one is relationships. Especially when you're young, it's like, okay, people are afraid. I mean, I was talking with my mom about this earlier, and my mom and my dad, and my mom. But just how, like, especially for women, there's so much pressure, and it's like, you know, you got to settle down, and you need to do this, you need to do all this, and for them, it's really hard because they've got this pressure coming against them, but it's like, will you trust God in that area? You know, even if it means that your desire, you know, you have to let that go. Maybe it doesn't work out the way that you would like. One of the most incredible women of God I know, she got married in her mid-40s, I think. You know? And she was, you know, and she had 6 years with her husband, and then he died. So it's not happily ever after here. For her, that was, you know, for her it was like, that was, she was grateful to God for what she had, when she had it. You know? And it's like, so, I mean, will you forsake that desire that you have for what God has for you? Because ultimately there's a fulfillment and a blessing that's in that, even though the world will never understand it. And it's not to say that that's going to be the case for everybody, but will you take it if it's God's will? You know, contrast that with then somebody else. It's like, no, you're fine. You're 18, here it is, the love of your life, and you'll have the next 60 years together. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that God gives you, will you receive that? And whatever struggle you have with it along the way, put it before Him, because He knows. So you communicate with Him, because He knows what your heart is and what your heart's dealing with. But the blocks that come to you following Him along the way, you have to allow the Spirit of God to bring you through that. We'll talk how you do that a little later. Okay, another one is soulish thinking, or we talked a little bit about this a couple times back. Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, so the kingdom of God is within. It's at the core of who you are. And at an outside layer of that, you have the mind and the chatter and all of those things. Again, back to Proverbs 14:12. An outside layer of that, which is the whole, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's that mental thinking, that mental... music in the background is kind of annoying. but it's that mental thinking that you have that's going there, that it's not in line with the voice of the Spirit. So you have to allow the Spirit of God to take you deeper within so that you can hear the voice of the Spirit and not get stuck at this level of the soul mind that would give you all of these ideas that you've been programmed with from the start. That's, again, all the, even back a little bit to the whole self-preservation, that's where you also get the thinking that reinforces that. So this is where, you know, again, you know, cultural norms and expectations and people putting things on you and saying, you know, and you in your head playing all that stuff back, saying, you know, this is what you need to do, and this is what your expectation is, and this is where, when people face that, you have to press through that so that you can actually hear the voice of the Spirit, because otherwise it's a block. For example, if you're going to do something that's never been done before, you know, how can you do something that's never been done before? Or something that's maybe, yeah, all things probably have been done before, but if you're going to do something original, how are you going to do it if all you have is somebody else's thoughts and opinions about it? Because then it'll always be based on somebody else's experience, and so you'll never see anything original if somebody won't break through their existing thinking. So all creativity comes from God. All, like, truly anything that's original comes from Him. God is creative. He says, let there be light, and there's light. He says, you know, He creates, He manifests new things. The devil is, and his kingdom is not creative. What they do is they recycle. And they just keep bringing out the same old decrepit rock stars and putting them up on the stage and trying to get one more last show out of them, because they have nothing new. There's nothing original there. They can't produce anything else. Even with his kingdom, he's got to rely on God's son, God's heir, God's, you know, I mean, it's like God's crops that grow because he put them in place. He has to rely on all these things that God has already done there, because there's no creative power in him or any of his servants. So it's like they just continue to exist purely because God's giving his mercy for them for a little while longer, giving them some chance and some time. But they also exist there too because when we go through and we have to deal with them, God's love and his true character is manifest in us. But the kingdom is within, so you have to not get stuck at that level of carnal thinking, that chattering mind that's there that speaks to you in your own voice. You want to go deeper, you want to go further within, which is where the voice of the Spirit is. So that's something that the Holy Spirit will bring you into if you still yourself, you know, like, be still and know that I am God. I mean, you stop, you still yourself, like Jesus, and then in that place, it's like that other voice, you can then isolate it when you stop, and it's like, okay, that voice, shut up, you know, box, you know, you can do certain things even with, where just put it in a cage in your mind and just toss it off to the side. Don't let that be the one that governs your thinking. But that's a block to you following the Spirit of God. What? Okay. You know, another one that happens, another one that we deal with, is others who are not following Christ. Okay? What?
non-believers
no, you can't even believe
anybody that's not following Christ. That's really it. Because okay,
for example,
all those multitudes of people who go to church and they haven't really experienced God really, the thing they have,
they will be a block to you following Christ. They really will. If you have people that don't know His voice for themselves, that don't walk with Him for themselves, they will turn you back, will tell you, no, you can't do this, will pull the rug out from under you when you start going down that road. Always. Always. Unless somebody is walking with and in the Spirit of Christ, how can two walk together at least they be agreed? Amos 3:3. So it's like, you can't walk somewhere unless you're in agreement with them. And the only way that you can be in agreement with somebody in the Spirit is if that person is themselves walking with the Spirit of God, and you are too. If you are, then there'll be an admonition. Yeah, brother, I see where your heart is. Because the Spirit of God's, you know, the same Spirit's witnessing in me. Go for it. Do what it is that you got to do. Encouraging each other in that step, in that path. But otherwise, what you end up having is a block. So, and here's something too. Even never allow your life to be limited by the compromise of another person and by somebody else's own failed experience. So we learn from what it is that other people go through, but never allow for, because somebody says, well, okay, you know, you can't do this because I couldn't do it, basically is what they're saying. And they're saying, and because I couldn't do it, and I'm the smartest thing that there is that's ever walked the face of the earth, and I'm the person that's got, you know, and because I couldn't do it, there's no way that you can. No. It's like the Spirit of God can empower and enable you to do anything that God would put in your heart to do. So never allow another person to block you. And really, when it comes from other people, especially those close to you, because see, that's the thing too. We let our guard down when it's somebody that has already a certain inroad into our life.
And then we take advantage of that.
And they'll take advantage of that. And so that's why too, it's like, you know, it's a path that you have to just be walking with Christ for yourself. And, you know, it's like you can't do it for somebody else. And if you realize somebody's not walking with Him, don't let them have that inroad into your life and into your heart. Keep them at a little bit of a distance, because otherwise what happens is that they will steer you in another direction that's not Him. So they'll speak words into your life that will confuse you, that will shed doubt. So you will have known this is the voice of God and He's leading me and guiding me in this direction. And they'll be like, are you really sure that's God's voice? You know, are you really? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm not. And then you get stuck. You get in this quagmire.
The last week, I think that.
Yeah. You get in this quagmire. And
no, but I've never done it.
And so what you do though is realize that, first of all, is that person following Christ with all their heart? Because if you are, you have to check yourself. Am I following Christ with all my heart? And is this the path that I'm on? And then, okay, now here's somebody else that's coming to you. Not what do they look like on the outside, but does the Spirit of God resonate in me when that person speaks? When that person speaks a word, does the Spirit of God, does deep call out to deep? Does the deep thing in my heart and my spirit, does that resonate with what's in them at the depth and the core of their being? And if not, be wary. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Go to 2 Timothy 3. And the start of verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Okay. So all these different things about those that are on the kingdom of darkness and that track and that line. But in verse 5, where he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From those that have... I wish they'd just turn it down a little bit. From those... Okay. You just have to deal with the background of these things today. One-time deal. Okay. Having a form of godliness. So, for example, I know a lot of religious institutions that have a form of godliness. I mean, it has a particular form. They wear the shirts. They have the crosses. They sing the songs. They do all of these ritual, but at the core of it, they're not following Christ. They're in love with the pulpit, or they're in love with the masses, or they're in love with the people that pat them on the back and say, good job, pastor. Or they're intoxicated with their position. Or, you know, they get a tax exemption, so they don't want to give this up. Or, I mean, you go down the list, but for whatever it is, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, they deny the truth that would actually set people free. And so when Paul's writing to Timothy, he's like, look, turn away from these. Because the reason that you turn away is because they're going in one direction and it's not the way you want to go. They're going in the path that leads to darkness, that leads to destruction, and you want to turn and go the way of light and truth and life. So you don't want a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. You want true godliness that comes from the source of life, that's just manifest out of a life that's led in connection with the Spirit of God. True righteousness, not something that is a fake, because a lot of those people are faking it. I mean, I was talking today actually with somebody about some of these churches and these institutions. Some of the highest concentrations of people that practice corrupt business practices, pedophiles, people that are in extramarital affairs or sleeping around before marriage, all that are in the pulpit. I mean, from the churches and the organizations that I know, some of the highest concentrations, if I was to say, okay, where do I know that this stuff is going on? It's not even the congregation, it's on the stage. I mean, it's on the stage of these organizations. And inevitably, like people, like pastor, so whatever it is that's spiritually being sown from that place is going then into the people. So, we have such heavy company today. You're worried about coughing. No.
Everything is flying over my head today.
Yeah. No. Mike
is gonna pick up.
Oh, I know, of course, that's all right. Bless the Lord. Okay. So,
oh my God, I'm blind.
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes down to other people that are going and another, just they will be a block to you walking this thing out with Christ. And when you know something and you have an assurance of the Spirit of God in your heart that this is something He's leading me into, and you'll know it because it'll sit right in your spirit, just be like, okay, thank you very much, I appreciate your concern, keep going. You keep going with what it is that you know God sent you to do, and just trust Him in that. Okay. The devil and all his forces, another one. Yeah. Okay. The devil and all of his forces. Go to Romans chapter 8. Actually, first Matthew chapter 16. And verse 18 says, all right. says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Okay, so the church is built on the rock of who Christ Jesus is. You know, thou art the Christ. All right, so that's the big rock that we're built on. Okay, but that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, why? Gates are defensive. And why would the gates... What the gates do is they're trying to keep everybody in, locked into this hellish reality. And the church that's walking with Christ, in step with the Spirit of God, and God is leading them out of the prison, and those gates that are there, that are set up to keep you in here, they won't be able to hold you, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The power of God that flows through you liberates you and brings you out and through that thing that's there to stop you. But still, it will seek to stop you. It was still set up to keep you in. So you have the devil and everything that he's got in the spiritual dimension seeking to keep you in. It won't prevail against you, because if you keep walking with the Spirit of God, he'll lead you through that. But it will try. Okay? So Romans chapter 8. That I love the Lion King. Okay. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So you have all of these things that seek to come to separate you from the love of Christ. But nothing can, when you're, because His love is stronger than all of it. So, but it part of that thing includes principalities and powers, and you know, and spiritual forces also that will seek to, and if you are in Christ, if you are directionally set to Him and you're walking with Him, they can't, no matter how hard they try, they can't. But they will try. So you have to realize that there is that attack that comes against you. There's the forces of the enemy that are there to try to keep you locked in, and everything that they got, all their troops, all their legions, everything they come will seek to oppress, will seek to crush, will seek to hurt you, will do, you know, attack your mind, your depression, all those kind of things that come. It's all as a block to keep you from following Christ, but you keep pressing through, hold on to the feet of Christ, and He will lead you through that. Okay, then flip back a little bit, go to Romans chapter 7, and Romans chapter 7 says, and verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Okay, so, and this is a whole chapter you can read some other time on, just like the flesh and the battle with the flesh. But basically, your flesh that you're born into, that you walk around with the whole time that you're here, if you give into the flesh, you reap from it destruction. If you walk in the Spirit, you reap life. But even there, you've got, in essence, the operation of the two kingdoms going on with you at any given time, because you've got the flesh that's seeking a certain thing, that's pushing for you a certain way, and what you have to do with the flesh is bring it under subjection. You know, don't give it any place. You have to learn to control and to bring that into a place where you have mastery, and the Spirit of God will teach you how to do that. The Spirit of God will show you how to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Romans chapter 12. You know, here, let's flip there real quick. Romans 12. Okay. Romans chapter 12, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so, you know, people always say, you know, what's the will of God? Well, okay, read the first two verses there. Because, you know, it's like, this will help you in being able to process and to know what the will of God is. So it's like, he says all of this so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so you want to know what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is? Question. So people are like, okay, what's God's will for me? What's God's good, acceptable, and perfect will? Alright, we'll go back. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by the be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, okay, present your bodies, your flesh, your physical being, to the Father as a living sacrifice, and allow Him to dwell, to feel at home and to dwell in your physical body. So it's not I just don't do this, this, and this. Here's my list of things that I don't do with my body. No, I mean, let the Spirit of God show you and live in holiness. Let the Spirit of God show you and live in connection with Him. Present your... Imagine... I mean, the Spirit of God lives in you. So there's certain things it's like, I don't want to do with my body because His Spirit lives in me. So, but... All right, so live... Let your body be that living sacrifice, and then also don't be conformed to the world. Okay, because the world is going a certain way and seeking to conform you. So it works to conform you. It works to get your mind to think a certain way. Everything it's putting your way, all the ads, all the television shows, all that stuff is trying to get you to conform. So it says, but don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how does that happen? Well, it happens when you're in connection with the Spirit of God. It happens when you spend time in prayer. It happens when you read the Word. It happens when you're just living in connection with Him. He begins to transform your mind. So when your body is your flesh is brought under subjection, and your spirit and your body is presented to God as a living sacrifice, and now your mind is being transformed, being renewed, so that you're not conformed in your mind to the world anymore, but that mind control is being broken so that now you can actually, you know, you've getting past that layer that's on the outside that keeps you from getting to the core of where the Spirit of God is speaking to you. Now you can hear the voice of the Spirit of God. So it's like, so then if you start saying, okay, a decision you have to make, you know, so a decision about work, for example, it's not based on the conform to the world pattern that would then make you make a decision in a certain way for self-preservation. You see? So the world will have programmed you a certain way, conformed you a certain way, and you can't test what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God because your mind, that's warring against your mind of like, oh no, you need to have your retirement set up and your 401k and your savings plan and you're this and you're that and you're that. And so people can't think clearly to follow God, knowing that He'll take care of them, knowing that they can trust Him. I mean, how many people, you watch what happens to the states in these days. How many people that were conformed to that system there now are watching all of it being stripped away from them. All of it. Because it doesn't work. You know, the devil sets you up and rips you down. And it's actually the grace of God allowing for, you know, people to be shook up so that some of them might actually turn and get right with Him at this time. So, but see, when your flesh is running amok and when your mind is all conformed to the world, it's so hard for people to hear the voice of the Spirit of God and what God's telling them. So it's like I mean, how many guys, you know, that I knew, they're just like, they're like, you know, they just want to get married because they say they can't control themselves. And it's like, you know, it's like, you can't control yourself before, you won't be able to control yourself after. I mean, I'm just being straight. It's like, I mean, if you haven't learned mastery of your mind and your thoughts and your body before, and if you haven't made that a pursuit, you're going to have the same issues. On it. Do not, like when people say, I do, that all of a sudden, oh, magic wand, everything's gone away. No, you're on a path. You're on a pursuit.
It's true, Paul said, I mean, you don't have to burn in passion, but then if you're really burning in passion, you can get mad.
Yeah. It's just saying, look, strive for, you know, all right, so God, see, when he puts something in his word, too, he'll empower you to be able to do it. So when he says, okay, present your bodies as living sacrifice, this is where you take the word back to him in prayer and you say, Lord, okay, here it is. Your word says that you want me to present my body as a living sacrifice. Lord, empower me by your spirit to do this because I got all this other stuff raging and going on inside of me. Help me so that I can, in fact, line up with your word so that I can be what you made me to be. You pray like that, he'll help you. Because now you're seeking His will. You're seeking Him to... You're trying to line up your life with the Spirit of God, with His truth, and with His Word. And just keep persisting because He'll give you that breakthrough in those areas. But if you don't, if you just say, okay, I'm going to do this, you fail. Yeah. If you say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this happen, your self-will will always fail. But if you turn to Him and you rely on His power and you ask Him to strengthen you to do something, boom. He'll help you. Because now you've left the door open for him to do that. So you need the Holy Spirit. That's why God said to the disciples in Acts, stay in Jerusalem until you get this gift of the Holy Spirit. You need this power so that you can actually be a witness. Okay, so we're out of time, but we started a little late. So let's close this up with this. What do you do? Okay? So, okay, now how do you do this? What do you do if you're going to try to get past some of these blocks? Okay, go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15. One thing that you do is you walk and you learn, cultivate prayer in your life. Verse 9 says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay, all those blocks that we talked about are covered in this prayer. When Christ Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he's teaching them to pray in such a way where it addresses the things that will seek to keep you from following the voice of the Spirit of God and the leading of his Holy Spirit. So, you know, you can stay on any one of these points for however long you need to, but just pray and allow the Spirit of God to deal with those different blocks that are there and pray it through, because God will give you clarity in every one of those areas of even what to do. And the victory is won in prayer. You know, the victory is won. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he kept going back and praying till there was a resolution there. And the victory of the cross was fought and battled out in Gethsemane. He walked it out, you know, in Calgary, but he did the fight in the spirit in Gethsemane. You know, he had to go through and agonize to the point where sweat became like drops of blood, but come to the resolution that, okay, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had to go through that point. And so likewise, too, the victories that we win are won in the Spirit. They're won in prayer. You can win them in prayer. And then you walk that out. So then the natural manifestation of it, like it just you walking that out. Okay, so that's one thing that you do. And then go Galatians 5, and we'll stop with this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There you go. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Okay, so you walk in the Spirit of God. So it's like, it's something that you yield to, it's something that you allow Him to lead you into, and you have a choice when you're faced with things. You can walk in your flesh, or you can walk in your spirit, and you can cultivate that. It's easy to default to the flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit, and you build a familiarity with that, you get stronger with that over time. You know, when you see people that default to the flesh, they become very weak people. You know, they become, it strips away at them. But when you see somebody that learns to walk in the Spirit, you know, even if they might be out with you in the same night, going to the same place, but they're strong in their spirit. And when they listen to the voice of the Spirit, God will say, "Get out of here, I want you to go home," or, you know, "Don't go in there." They do that. So we learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. And when you do that, He'll also maneuver you past these different blocks. So there's the different blocks that come along the way to try to be obstacles to you. And so what He'll do is just like, He'll like give you the instructions like a little earpiece, you know, and just be like, "Okay, turn left, turn right, go straight." And you will avoid so many of these blocks that are along the way that seek to keep you bound. The Spirit of God will take you past those so that you can then keep walking on the path with Christ. So that's why too, it's like, you know, He'll warn you about certain people. He'll put a caution in your heart about certain situations, certain places. And then when He does, trust Him. You know, trust the way the Spirit of God speaks to you, because He's leading you in the right path. He's leading you in the path that's life. So, yeah, we went a little late today, but...